Hey there, welcome to Sharkcast Radio, a podcast about all things Cronulla Sharks. My name is Sam Shinazzi. I'm here on my lonesome in this episode. My partner in crime, Adam Newman, could not join me. He encouraged me to go ahead. He sends his love. He's doing fine. He and I will be in the house Thursday night, Cowboys at Cronulla. Quick shout out to our sponsors, Dyson Logistics, who have been with us from the start, Endeavour Property Services, and Shark Island Brewing. We encourage you to check out all they do. They're great people with great products. Stick around, bit of a different episode this week, but I'm sure we'll get through it. Okay, a gentle reminder that we are on social media. Our handle is at SharkCastPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can get in touch with us via email, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. Let us know what you're thinking, what's going on, complaints, praise, whatever you like. We'll get back in touch with you, see what we can do, and we'll obviously read out your stuff on our episodes. Sharks win the local derby 18-14 last Friday night at the University of Wollongong Jubilee Oval. Now, let's just stop and think about that. The University of Wollongong, located in Kogra. Could that club get any more silly? I don't know. I'm just glad we won. I don't know how he won. Well, I do know. It was great defense and a bit of luck. 18-14, the final result. For the Mighty Sharks, Fecky cross for two, Lutelia try, and Maloney kick three very important goals from three very important attempts. It was more of the same from the Sharks. Their handling really let them down. They ended up completing 19 of 32 sets with just around 48% of the ball. They missed 28 tackles. They made 14 handling errors, and they lost the penalty count 7-4, yet somehow they won the match. Now, let's get the praise happening first of all. This team is coming second. For that, we're all thankful. We know there's a lot more improvement to come. When it's coming, we're not sure. That's becoming a bit of an issue week by week, so it certainly wasn't there last week. Let's praise the defense. They're conceding the least points and tries, the third least line breaks, and the third least meters. They're also forcing the third most dropouts in the NRL, with Chad Townsend responsible for 10 of them. And that's the equal most in the NRL, so Chad Townsend's having a really great season. But their defense is just so solid. I mean, the tries they gave away last week were fairly soft. We had the try to the very much informed Paul Vaughan, and young Jaden Brayley stepped out of the line a bit too early, which was significant for that try. And then Russell Packer scored a try off some good work of Paul Vaughan. Jim Maloney jumped out of the line a little bit too. So the tries that are being scored against them are minimal and they're quite soft. So it's a good sign. It really is. The scrambling defense is still really good. We saw what happened in the final minutes of the grand final last year. We'll never ever forget those moments. And week by week, they're showing signs like that in scrambling defense. So another really good sign. They're playing as a team, playing for each other. They're a happy team, that's for sure. Now, with the attack, they're mid-range for most of the attacking stats in the NRL. So they're going okay. They are bombing quite a few tries each week. Most evidently last week, we had Andrew Fifita with pretty much a 3-on-1, and he went himself and he got tackled and stripped of the ball. Should have been a penalty, but at the same time, he really should have just passed that ball. And Fecky dropped a very easy catch, in my opinion, right at the end of the game that would have not only got him a hat trick, but also sealed the game completely. So that's just two examples of how they're not finishing off some great attacking moves. If they score those two tries, we're probably not as worried. So definite room for improvement there in the attack. We made 7 line breaks to 4, so it's the opportunities are there, that's for sure. Okay, without Newman here, I can talk about Valentine Holmes for the next hour, but I won't do that, I promise. I thought he was really good last week, and he's improving each week. He set up a try, made a line break. He ran for close to 150 metres, busted 5 tackles. He had no errors. There were no errors in his game last week. And just the way he attacks that ball from the kick into the kick return, it's so beneficial for this team. You know, we're coming off a week where there's speculation about someone else coming in next year and playing fullback, which we might get into in the news section, but I thought he handled himself really well, and I'm hoping that that can just keep on continuing, because he does have a few knockers out there, and that's cool. He does make some errors from time to time, but he's an amazing talent, in my opinion. You all know that. You know how I feel about Valentine Holmes. In the press conference, Coach Shane Flanagan praised Jack Bird, pretty much said he was the most important player on the field from that performance against the Dragons. I was pretty frustrated with him for the first 65 minutes. I thought he fell off a lot of tackles. He only missed three technically, but he fell off a lot. He was a bit of a liability out there for a while, but then they moved him closer to the action around the 65th minute, and he really started to let loose in attack and was significant and helped them win the match. So maybe he needs to get more involved. I'm not sure, but hopefully Jack Bird can continue to play like we know he can, because he's an amazing footballer when he's at his best. So I'm glad he had that great final 15 minutes, because for me personally, he wasn't really up to scratch for the first 65. He did make three errors. He missed three tackles, but he also ran for close to 150 meters and he set up two line breaks. So for the negative stuff that is happening in his game, he's still making some positives, and that's a good thing. No surprises that three of our best forwards were Andrew Fifita, Matt Prior, and Paul Gallen. Fifita was huge, and he did bomb that try, which I spoke about, but he ran for close to 160 metres. He had that great run from a restart return where he was bumping off guys left, right, and centre. It was about a 40-yard, listen to me, yards. It was about a 40-metre run. The beast that is Paul Gallen continues to impress each week. We're not sure if it's his last year or not, but he's certainly playing like a man possessed. He ran for close to 170 metres. He busted four tackles. He made close to 40 tackles, which is the most for the Sharks. And played for 68 minutes of the game, and he's really, really, really dominating in the way that he's playing. There's not too many offloads in his game. He didn't actually make an offload last week. He's just putting the head down and making those metres, and he's going to be a very important player leading into this Cowboys match, that's for sure. The four guys on the bench were solid. Probably nothing more than that, to be fair. They all played for under 20 minutes each and didn't really make too much of an impact, although they did make some tackles in their time on the field. But as far as runs go, they're pretty insignificant. That was Joseph Paulo, Jeremy Lattimore, Kurt Capewell, and Sam Tangatizi. So whether they're just not getting enough time, I'm not sure. But interesting to see what happens with the bench this week. There could be a variation there, which we'll get into later on in the preview for the Cowboys game. We did have a bit of luck on our side and some poor officiating, and I'm just going to call it down the line here. Ricky Latelli's pass to Sisaia Fecky, as good as it was forward, and from the play of the ball, Wade Graham actually lost control of the ball and dropped it. It shouldn't have been a try, but it was let go, and that's the sort of luck you need, and I didn't lose any sleep about it. You know, I love beating the Dragons, and that helped us win the game. So all's fair in love and war, that's for sure. It does mean, though, when we get a call against us, which we probably will at some point, we have to look back at this game and remember that we won the Dragons game pretty much through some refs' calls, in my opinion. Since the Dragons merged in 99, it was just the third time the Sharks have won at Cogra Oval. We've never ever scored over 20 points there against them as a merged entity. There's something about this team this year. They like playing on the road. They've won all of their games away from home. And it's just the second time in their history and the first time since 95 that they've won their opening six away matches. So they're going great on the road. If you include last year's final series, we've now won eight straight away matches. So it's now time to start winning at home, obviously, and hopefully that starts against the Cowboys Thursday night. Not quite sure how we fix up the handling errors. A lot of them are really, really simple as well. It's not like they're playing Harlem Globetrotter kind of football and then dropping the ball while it's going through their legs or that kind of thing. Some of it is very, very simple. And on the back of that, some discipline we saw, most notably, I think, from Chad Townsend, probably around 60 minutes into the game. He dropped the ball from a scrum, and then they received the ball and he made the tackle, and then he gave away a very stupid tackle. And I think Luke Lewis did something similar as well early in the game. It's just not good enough. At the moment, it's not costing us games, but it's just something you need to get out of your system. They need to really respect that ball. I'm convinced that if this team plays to their capabilities, they can go back to back. But If you make those errors in finals games and against really, really quality teams, you're not going to get the points. We are conceding the most penalties in the game, we're making the most errors, and we have the worst completion rate. James Maloney has given away 20 penalties. He only gave away one last week, I think, but that's the most in the NRL. And Wade Graham has given away 11, which is the second equal most. That's 31 penalties between two guys this year. It's just ridiculous. And they're both on the same side of the field. They're next to each other. On top of that, we're getting the fourth least amount of penalties per game. So we're not really that friendly with the referees, aside from a couple of lucky calls last week, of course. And just a little side note on Captain Gallen, who I was talking about before. He's made the most runs, most run meters, and the third most average run meters in the NRL this season. So the old dog's still got a bit of life in him yet, and it's going to make contract talks very interesting whenever that happens. It's got to be soon, I guess. You know, would you or would you not sign him? Get in touch with us at sharkcastpod@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts. Not much more I can say about that game without my buddy Newman here. I noticed a bit of criticism of Jaden Brayley online. Criticism's a harsh word, but people saying he needs a rest and he's tired and he's being targeted. Well, he's going to be targeted because he's one of the smallest guys out there, so that's the first thing. He made some errors last week, and they could have been caused by tiredness, of course, but, you know, he's not the first person to step out of the line. He's not the first person to throw a bad pass. I think we're just used to him playing such a high-quality first nine and now 10 games that we expect him just to be like a robot and be close to perfect. And I got in a bit of trouble on Twitter. I wrote that he was near perfect for the first nine games. And Newman, of course, held me down. But, yeah, he's been fantastic. And I'm all for someone giving him a rest. I really don't think he's anywhere near ready to be criticised, or he hasn't let us down at all. He helped Lennon a try. I mean, it's not the end of the world. We move on. I love the kid. I think his service is great, and I think he's going to be around for a long time. I think he and Seguiaro could really, really form a special partnership, which we saw for a couple of games there before Segui got injured. He's back in a couple of weeks, I think, or pretty soon. Jaden's relief is coming. You can all sit back and stop worrying about stuff. He's going to be okay, and what a fantastic position to be in to have Jaden Brayley with a big future in front of him and a guy like Seguiaro, who's just an attacking weapon coming off the bench. I think it's a wonderful situation. It's some great recruitment from Shane Flanagan and his team. Going to cut to the first break here, and we'll be back with the news of the day. Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies, and with better service too, because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467 233 153. That's 0467 233 153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference. Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers, as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Shark Cast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
I can't tell you how proud I am of these blokes. Jerry, fucking 3 weeks ago, I was in fucking hospital. I couldn't walk. I watched them blokes beat Canberra. I was crying in my lounge. I was just so proud of them. And what they did again tonight, oh my God. They are the best blokes I've ever had. They are so good. They are so good.
We Welcome back to Sharkcast Radio, a podcast about all things Cronulla Sharks. This is the news section. The mighty Cronulla Sharks NYC team, they won 36-14 over those dastardly Dragons at the stinkhole known as Kogra. They're now on 15 competition points and they are coming second just behind Penrith. So Johnny Morris's boys are doing really, really well. We had tries to Nikora, Kennedy, Lumi Lumi, Kyle Flanagan, Magulius, Tafuga, and Kyle Flanagan kicked 6 goals. I love it when our NYC team is strong. It happens rarely for us, but when it does, it's really, really special years. So they're doing really well, and hopefully we can knock over the Cowboys Thursday night. If you go into the game, get down there earlier. The kickoff will be around 5 o'clock, I imagine. They're entertaining games. They're a great team to watch. And there are some kids there that will play first grade in the years to come. So you can say that you were there when they started out. Making it 3 wins in the top 3 grades for the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks, more or less. The Newtown Shark Jets, they won in dramatic fashion, 16-12 over North Sydney at North Sydney Oval. And Big Edric Lee, he scored an intercept, a long-range intercept, and this time he didn't muck it up. The elbows and the knees, they didn't connect, and he scored the match-winning try. Great stuff. Tries to Jesse Ramian, Edric Lee, Jordan Drew, and New Brown kicked 2 goals. So their next match is against Illawarra at Henson Park on Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff, and that's always fun. If you can get out to Henson Park, I encourage you to do so. The Shark Jets are now 8th on the ladder, so slowly moving up, bit of work to do, but good win nevertheless. Okay, there is a bit of other news around. Matt Pryor was charged with a grade 1 shoulder charge by the match review committee for a 20th minute shoulder charge on Joel Thompson. It didn't look like a classic shoulder charge to me, but it was enough to get him a week off and miss the Cowboys game. They could have fought the charge, but if he was found guilty, he would have missed 2 games. So they took the early plea, and he's got 50 carryover points from that. There are a lot of rumours flying around dealing with the future of the players at the club and the guys coming to the club. We can start with some facts, though. It was revealed that New Brown has signed a 2-year deal with the Canterbury Bulldogs for next year. He'll be a Bulldog in 2018. We wish him all the best. He played his junior football with us, played some great NYC and New South Wales Cup performances. In 2014, he played some NRL, and he really did his best in a very, very diabolical year, and he stood out for me, actually, and I'll be a fan forevermore because of it. Suffered a season-ending injury in 2015 at the start of the year in the Auckland Nines, and that was quite devastating for his career short-term, and he never really found his way back into the team, although he has played first grade and fits and starts here or there. I've always thought his versatility was going to be a bit of a negative when it came to him having a first grade spot. For me, he's a perfect bench player because he can cover so many different things, but it's not the way that the coaching staff are going. And although I think he will play some first grade this year, we do definitely wish him all the best. He's only 22 years of age, so he's got a future if he knuckles down and performs well. He's a great kid off the field, really respectful, family-orientated kind of guy, so he'll definitely be a good acquisition for the Bulldogs. Rumours broke through the week that Luke Lewis was being targeted by the Roosters to head over there next year. He has met with them, as far as we know, but nothing else has happened. The Sharks will definitely have the last say on whether they keep him or not. I've got a feeling they're going to keep him, but there is a lot of speculation out there. And it's a great time to remind you not to believe everything you see and hear. The other rumour that keeps growing stronger is Josh Dugan to the Sharks. Speculation he's been offered $1 million a year. Speculation he's been promised fullback. I'm led to believe the money is nowhere near that and that he has not been promised fullback. So essentially they're looking at buying him as a centre. And of course he can play fullback if needed. Sharks have tabled a 4-year deal to him. Dragons a 3-year deal, and I think that's where the difference was. It wasn't necessarily in the figure per year. It was about the amount of years being offered. It's confirmed we're losing Jack Bird next year. Ricky Latelli is possibly moving interstate, though it's not confirmed. So don't believe everything you read about that. It's definitely a reality, but it's not confirmed. So We're going to have to get some centres next year, and Dugan could be one of them from what we're hearing. But again, let's see how this shapes out. Sharkcast TV will be airing at 4:30 p.m. on the Sharks Facebook page, as well as the Sharks website, I'm led to believe. You might need to click on the Channel 67 logo there and find us, but you can definitely watch Sharkcast TV live in the moment and interact with us. Bit of a first for us as well. After the game, probably about 15-20 minutes after the game, we're going to do a post-game show as well. I think that's just Newman and I, but we'll see see what happens there. But we encourage you to tune in. Again, I think that'll be live on Facebook and possibly the website, and you'll be able to watch both of them after the fact if you can't watch them live. If you can watch them live, beautiful, drop us a line. We'll give you a shout-out. We'll answer your questions, etc., etc. Quick reminder that we have merchandise for sale. We have hats, we have hoodies, and we have rain jackets. The clothing material is made to order, but if you want it, we can get it for you, and we've got hats ready to go. So drop us a line, sharkcastpod@gmail.com, or find us on social media, and we can help you out there. All right, let's take a bit of a break here, and I'll go see if there are any letters in the letterbox for us. Thanks for tuning in. It's Sharkcast Radio, a little bit different this week. Hope you're going okay. I'm having a ball. Back after the break. Hey, Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. Tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.
They are dancing in the streets of Cronulla even now. From Carrickmacross to Sutherland to Miranda.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a-going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spare. Got to get back to my baby.
Okay, welcome to the letters part of the show. I'm not going to do the introduction like Newman does it, because no one can do it like him. First up, we have Ashley from Engadine, and he says, "Hey guys, what's with Ricky Latelli? Is he going, or is it just the media BSing us again?" Here's what we know, Ash. We know that he's having some family difficulties, in that he's got a young family and they're currently living in Queensland, and he has a job in Cronulla playing for the Cronulla Sharks. So it's a bit of a stretch for him to have that going on in his life. So it's a difficult situation. The Sharks don't want him to go. He doesn't want to go, but he may have to just for his family's sake, which of course comes first. So I would stay tuned on that one. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what outcome might be. Don't necessarily believe what you're hearing, but the actual part of the story that is true is that his family is in Queensland and he's not. Another letter here from Troy, and he says, "We win again with a rubbish performance. It's quite amazing that we have the most errors and most penalised team, and we're coming second after 10 weeks. It shows if we get it right, we'll be bloody hard to stop, and right in this comp up to our eyeballs again." Troy, couldn't agree with you more, my friend. There is so much improvement left in this team, it's ridiculous, but it does have to start at some point. We can't get to week 24 and becoming fourth and then say, oh, they're going to improve soon. They need to have some regular quality games to get into that zone, but we are a long way off from where we want to be. So let's see how that pans out. Thanks again, Troy. We appreciate your mail as always. Next up, we have Bill from Coolangatta. He's a new listener and he says he's only caught the show for the first time last week, but he loves it. Great job. Thank you very much, Bill. Just letting you know that all of our episodes are on iTunes and SoundCloud. You can go back and listen to all 80 of them, start to finish. Give it a good shot. Maybe it's for the off-season, I don't know, but thanks very much for getting in touch with us, Bill. Now, Bill writes to us about something very dear to my heart, and that is Valentine Holmes. He says that he heard Newman last week saying that he wanted him to grab the game by the scruff of the neck and win the game for us. Bill says he's yet to see that, from Valentine Holmes. He has flashy moments, but they're outnumbered by his lack of involvement in games. Last year, we had Ben Barber, who single-handedly won us many matches and put us in great positions to win. In my opinion, we're really missing that. I think Valentine's best position is wing. He's a strong runner with good footwork over short distances. Thanks very much, Bill. I kind of wish Newman was here to bounce off me with this one, but then again, I'm sort of glad he's not as well. Look, I don't discount what you're saying. I have a different opinion. I think each week at fullback, he's going to get a lot more confident in what he does. He doesn't have all the time in the world to do so. He will have to start doing some more things and doing them soon, but I think there is enough improvement there each week to show that he's going to be a great fullback. As I said before, his kick returns are dynamic. They're important. They get us onto the right foot. He set up a nice try last week, so his handling is getting better and his touches. There were no errors in his game last week as well, which is very important. I hear what you're saying, Bill. You want someone in the spine at that position to do their traditional job, like the halfback, hooker, and 5/8. So my only thing would be to say give it a bit more time, but the very worst, I guess he could go back to wing. He could do a lot worse, couldn't he? Thanks for getting in touch, Bill. Appreciate it. Hope you go back and listen to some old episodes. We're pretty obsessed with our team here, as you'll hear. Next up, we have Michael Langridge, and he is saying it's time to make Shark Park in the dark a fortress again. None of these trash performances. It's time to complete our sets and win like winners. We've got 5 games in a row now, and it sets up our year, in my opinion. Time to aim up. Also, get Dugan at centre. Given Chambers isn't coming and Gagai's southbound, he's the best option in the back line. He finishes his lovely letter by saying, if you'd said we would be 7-3 after the first 10, I would have taken it. Up, up. Thank you, Michael. Wise words, as always. I agree with all of that, especially about making the home ground a fortress again. I read in Shane Flanagan's press today that he's really instilled in the guys this week that it starts here. There's 5 games in a row and 5 winnable games. And if we win those, boy, are we going to be sitting in a good spot. So 1 week at a time, of course. Cowboys Thursday night. Encourage you to get out there. Newman and I will be there rocking and rolling all night long. So looking forward to it. Finally, we have Mitchell, and he says, why aren't we calling the Newtown Jets the Newtown West Side Stories? Get it? It's not bad, Mitchell. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Newman and I chatted with a bunch of you guys on Twitter as well, so you can find us, SharkCastPod is our Twitter handle, and we're also on there separately, which you'll find us, Newman and Sam Shinazi. So drop us a line. We're on there talking about the Sharks quite a lot, both as SharkCastPod and as separate entities, because, of course, we are separate people, believe it or not. Thursday night football at the SCG. We have the mighty Cronulla Sutherland Sharks, the Premiers, playing North Queensland Cowboys. We've played them 42 times. Pretty good record against them. Our win percentage is actually the best against any other current team. We've won 25 of the 42 matches, including 5 of the past 6. So at the moment, we kind of own them, and hopefully we can own them again on Thursday night. We've won 12 from 17 at Shark Park. Although we've won the past 2 at the venue, the Cowboys have won 4 of the past 6. So they don't show too much fear coming to Cronulla, that's for sure. Jonathan Thurston's been named on the bench, extended bench. It's unlikely that he's going to play, but I'm not going to believe it until I don't see him run out in the field. So obviously, if he doesn't play, it gives us a much better chance of winning. It doesn't mean that you can count on winning, but it's definitely a help that he's not going to be there. Okay, here's the team list. Your Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. Round 11 v. the North Queensland Cowboys. Thursday, May 18th at Shark Park. Kickoff is 7:50 p.m. We want you there. At fullback, Valentine the Future Holmes. On the wings, we have Sasaya Fecky and Gerard Beal. In the centres, we have Jack Bird and Ricky the Tackle Latelli. James Maloney and Chad Townsend are your halves. Front row is Andrew Fifita, Jaden Brayley, and Chris Hyington returns to the team, replacing Matt Pryor. Chris Hyington was out last week with a family situation, but he's back this week, and we welcome him back with open arms. Luke Lewis, Wade Graham, and Captain Paul Gallen are your back row. The immediate interchange bench is Kurt Capewell, Jason Bikuya, Jeremy Lattimore, and Sam Tangatizi, with the extended bench of Joseph Captain America Paulo, Dan Mortimer, Edric Lee and Kurt Dillon. I can tell you that Edric Lee and Kurt Dillon have been wiped off that bench already. So they were named originally, but it's now down to a 19-man squad with the extended bench of Joseph Paulo and Dan Mortimer. Bakuyi is an interesting one, and I'm very glad to see him there. He will face a fitness test, probably game day, I guess, but his injury is almost healed, miraculously, some would say. So I love Bakuyi. He's in great form, and hopefully he can jump straight back into that if he plays on Thursday night. The loss of Matt Pryor will be significant. We're going to need the likes of young Brayley and Luke Lewis to really apply some kick pressure, as well as some line speed in defense, because he's so good at it, and obviously the forwards are going to have to move forward and replace his runs as well. So I'm sure the coach has a plan for all that. And I'd like to see the likes of Tangatizi and even Capewell, you know, step up and make some meters for us. They definitely have it in them, so it's a good time to do it, that's for sure. We did play the Cowboys 3 times last year, and we won 2 of the matches. We played them in round 1, and we lost 20-14, but it was a close match, as I'm sure many of you recall, and a match we could have won. We then met them in round 14, close fought game. Valentine, the future Holmes, definitely stamped his authority on the game with a 90-meter spectacular intercept try, and they won 13-10, the Sharks. So then they met, of course, in the preliminary final. Beautiful night that was. And we ended up winning, what was it, I think 32-20. And of course it was, you know, 32-6 up until the 70th minute. So a wonderful night in our history. And I don't know, maybe that might inspire the Cowboys to come out and get a bit of revenge. But hopefully they're not thinking about that. And the Sharks can keep dominating. Should be a good match. I think it'll be close. Probably come down to the forwards, as boring as that sounds. I think if we just can improve on our handling and our penalties at home, we should be able to record our second home win for the year. I'm not sure what sort of a crowd they're expecting. It's Thursday night football. It's not the most appealing night or time to be there for some. Having said that, if you can get down there, this is your team. They're coming second. They won the comp for you. Come on out and have some fun. It'll be a good game. The club will be rocking before and after. If you can't make it, you can watch Sharkcast TV at 4:30 p.m. You can watch Sharkcast TV, the wrap, post-game, probably about 20 minutes after full-time, give or take. But yeah, if you're in the vicinity, please come down and say good day and cheer on the boys, because it's an important year. We want to go back-to-back, and, you know, nights like these are really important. You're playing the Cowboys, you want to beat them at home. Okay, we're going to wrap up with this podcast, a bit of an abbreviated version. My old mate Newman will be back bigger and better than ever on the next episode. You can count on that. A quick shout out to our sponsors, Dyson Logistics, who have been with us for a long time now. Endeavour Property Services, who are new to the podcast. We encourage you to check out their work. And of course, Shark Island Brewing, who just make fantastic beer. I've been drinking their lager all week, true story, and it's a great drop. We encourage you to check out our sponsors. They help us a lot, and we wouldn't have them on board if we didn't believe in what they do. So a genuine recommendation from myself and from Newman. We'll see you down at the game. Don't forget and get in touch with us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. Find us on social media. We'll see you at the game. Up the Sharks.
Time to see good football for the Sharks.